Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I appreciate all of your commitment and your hard work and your dedication to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to let you know that I never take your commitment and your time for granted. Every time I see you here, or notice that you have given your life to build a church, I really appreciate and really honor you. I want to let you know that I really honor all of you and see you as precious and valuable people. And I never think that, you know, like you. Your time here, I don't take it for granted. I believe that you all make a commitment to serve Jesus, and this is very precious in the eyes of God. Tonight, we'd like to talk about God's servant again. Lately, for some reason, God spoke to me a lot about two issues in my heart. Number one, He kept telling me, and He keep working in my life about relationship with Christ. It has been getting stronger and stronger each day. That God kept telling me that, you know, it's about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and about knowing Him, about serving Him, everything. He told me that everything that we do out of relationship with Him, not out of legalistic religious law or out of church law or function, but everything we do is based on that foundation of relationship with Christ. So I pray every day that our brother and sister in the church will really get to know Jesus and really have a strong relationship with Christ as a person. Lately, I feel stronger and stronger that Jesus is a person, and He's still living on the inside of us. And He is crying out, He's longing and crying out for that relationship with us. We should not ignore Him. We should not forget about Him. But we should always talk to Him, think about Him, walk with Him, listen to Him, connect to Him all the time. And the Lord also lately speak to me that evangelism is not about getting to people to pray a prayer of salvation and join the church only, but it's about bringing people to have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, the Lord speak to me lately about disciples, that he kept telling me in my heart that I want my people to be my disciple. I want them to be like the disciple in the time that He was walking on earth. The disciple, like Paul, like Peter, like Barnabas, like John, like Matthew, and James, all these people. You know, have you ever imagined yourself? Have you even thought about yourself that you are walking with Jesus in that the land of Palestine? But now we are not in the land of Palestine, but we imagine that we are walking with Him every single day. And we follow the footsteps of the Master and serve Him. And whatever the Master say, we do. We want to sit at His feet and listen to His teaching. We want to hear the revelation of God, of the Father, through His mouth, through His voice. Are we really disciples that follow Jesus? And God kept telling me that your church, I mean our church here, or His church, must lead people into that walk. The walk of disciple. Amen. It's not just about coming for social. It's not about coming to meet together and have a good time. But we are willing to follow Jesus, pick up the cross, and say no to our own agenda. And say, Jesus, You are my Master. You are my Lord. Whatever You want, I do it. Whatever You desire, I would follow, I would do for You. I am your bond servant. I'm your slave. I am your, you know, you own me. I belong to you. You can do whatever you want in my life. I believe God is crying out in the end time that the believers will come back to that lifestyle and that heart attitude again. Amen. Being disciple is not about entertaining. It's not about production, but it's about walking daily with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, the Bible says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at what Paul says. I die daily. Oh, Paul say, I die daily. Do you die daily? Do you die to your own agenda? Do you die to your own plan and purpose daily? Do you die to your flesh daily? I want to die daily to myself and just want to get on with God's purpose in my life. If you want to be God's servant, you need to learn how to die daily to your own agenda. Amen. There is no other way. You need to die to yourself. You need to die to your own life, to your own self. You know, a disciple is a person who says, God, you know, if you need these 2 hours from me, I give it to you joyfully, cheerfully. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to set a clock on God and say, God, I give you only this 1 hour. After that, I'm sorry, it's for myself. But if God say, can you stay another 2 hours for this situation? You say, yes, Lord, I do it. I'm cheerfully and joyfully do it for you. You know, that is my attitude since I decided to serve the Lord. You notice one thing that when I came to church, either Saturday night or Sunday, I never complained that it's too long or too this and that, because I feel that I just want to do anything to please my master. If he require me to stay longer, I do it. If something happened, I'm happy to do it. My life belongs to him. He can get anything he wants through me. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. I just read a few scripture that Apostle Paul wrote regarding his life becoming disciple, a servant of Jesus. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you say the same thing? That I live for the purpose and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We live for Christ. Everything is for the benefits of Christ. Romans 14:8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to God. We are not the owner of ourselves anymore. Amen. I believe that God is preparing the church to a great revival and spiritual awakening and signs and wonders. I believe that God is preparing the church for the great supernatural miracle in the end time. God really speak to me that I'm preparing for the end time revival, the great spiritual awakening, that the miracle that you never seen, even greater than the early church, going to come back to the church again. But God spoke to me that to get there, I need to deal with my people first. Because your own self-agenda and yourself block that power that cannot flow through you. I believe that we're going to see great miracle because you die to self to the point that God's power and miracle going to flow through you without hindrance and blockage or anything anymore. God can fully flow through you. I believe that we need to prepare ourselves by preparing our heart, that we say we belong to the Lord. And God, you can use my body, everything in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He died for all. Jesus died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Are we living our life for ourselves? You know, I believe that our church here would shake the world if we can get to this point, if we could get to this mentality that we live our life for Christ. How many people watch the movie called Luther? Luther, Martin Luther, who wrote, you know, something against the teaching, false teacher, teaching at that time. And he was willing to die. He was willing to stand up for the truth. He was willing to really get persecuted and suffer for Christ, for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he really, that kind of person that, you know, I'm going to live my life for Christ. I pray that that's going to happen in the Northwest here. And that's going to happen to every single place that we plant churches. You know, I tell you, you cannot lead people to where you have never been to. One day, if some of you, okay, if some of you start a care group, your members will not get there until you get there first. Get there means get to the point that you say, Christ, Lord Jesus, I live for you. I am your disciple. You are so real to me. I love you so much. And I'm willing to die for you. Amen. It's not just a nice gathering, but this must come from your spirit, because people around you are going to be imparted to have the same spirit. You need to get to that point in your life before other people get it. If you want to lead people, you know, you lead people to that direction by the Spirit of God inside you, but you need to have that spirit. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You can see again and again, live, life and death, live and die and live. You see, talking about we die and Christ lives in us. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You know, I appreciate people who are very good in pumping people, hype people up, and just get people excited in the meeting and say, Amen, hey, we're going to serve God. You know, it's all kind of this thing, kind of hype people up. But I tell you, I'm not looking for those hyping. I'm not looking for the real disciple. It's not about the feeling. It's not about hyping. Yeah, okay, we're going to serve God now. No, no, no. I'm talking about people say, I'm going to pull up my sleeve. I'm going to follow Christ, not out of the emotion that people hype me up, but I do it with the decision. When I make that decision to serve God, God, you can take anything from me. You can tell me to go to the right, I go to the right. If you tell me to go left, I go left. We need that kind of disciple. Not just nice service. A lot of excitement and pumping and hyping people up and say, yes, amen, walk out and they still live the same life again. We don't want that. We want a solid decision. We want a solid commitment to Jesus. Actually, next year, I'm going to call all the care group leader and unit leader to the front. And I want to honored all of them. I want to let the congregation know that they are valuable people in the church. They are precious people. It's an honorable job to be working as an overseer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And at the same time, next year, I think in January, I'm going to ask all these leaders to stand in front of the congregation and make a prayer of the commitment to God. Pray something like this. Lord, I promise you that I will live a holy life. I will walk in the fear of God. I will love your word and obey your word. I will love your people and I honor your presence and I will yield to the Lord. I'm going to make all the leaders make that covenant in front of public. You know what? God began to deal with me and speak to me that this is not a game. This is not just another business to come and do something in this church. It's not about business. It's not about running an organization. It's about relationship with the Lord. If you want to serve Him and become His disciple, you make that commitment to Him. You make commitment that you're going to walk in the fear of God. You're going to love His people. You need to make that commitment to God. How many people do you think it's a good idea to make that commitment in public? I think it's good as leader. So we can all have witness together so that we can hold on to that commitment to God. A public proclamation. Is that right? That's the right word to say. We proclaim publicly that we're going to make that commitment. And I pray that next year we're going to have more care group leaders rise up in the church. We're going to see more people. I challenge that people will next year rise up and take that job as a care group leader or spiritual helper or unit leader really in an honorable way. This is not just have a position to yell at people. It's a position, it's a job, honorable job that you look after the sheep of God with love. You know, if you listen to the radio today, I slip out one word in the radio. I say, in a church, we just love people. I slip that out because I want the listener to hear that. This is not about religion. It's about loving and relationship. You see, so we want to really have quality leadership here. And we're going to take serious about that. And leaders are servants. Amen. Now, I noticed one thing, that people are different. I have been a pastor for more than 20 years. And I watch and look at non-believers, I look at the believers, I look at the leaders and pastors and all kinds of people in the body of Christ. And I noticed one thing, that what makes a big difference is not the skin color. What makes a big difference is not financial background. It's not the height and the outward appearance. What make a big difference is the spirit inside a man and a woman. If you have good spirit, your action, your word will come that way. But if you have a wrong spirit, it's going to come out in your action, your facial expression, and your behavior, and your everything, your action, everything going to show up because everything comes from the spirit inside. You remember the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that some of us, our work going to be like haze, like stubble and like wood that will be burned by the fire of God. My concern is this. One day God spoke to me, Mom, when you go to heaven, you will be shocked that many people who get big rewards in heaven are not in the Charisma magazine. Then no one knows them. They work in some mountain. But with the right spirit, love people and faithful to me, they get bigger reward than some pastor of a big church. Amen. That serve God because of other agenda and with the wrong spirit. Amen. So God told me that it's so important that if we're going to serve God in one life that we have on earth now, we need to serve God with the right spirit. Because if wrong spirit, it's going to burn up. But if we have the right spirit, we're going to be like a silver, gold, like ruby. We're going to have left the rewards in heaven. So we need to really check our heart carefully every single day. The motive, the spirit behind. One scripture say in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. We're going to talk about the heart or the spirit of God's servant today. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. I just finished my introduction. Numbers 14, 24. But my servant, Caleb, because he has a different spirit, everyone say different spirit, in him, has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. God is looking at your spirit. God doesn't look just only your outward action, what you do. He look deeper than man's looks. He look inside your spirit. Are you have a gentle spirit? Do you have a loving spirit? Are you have a sincere spirit? Or you have an agenda behind? Or you have some kind of hidden motive? God knows everything. God knows everything in your heart. So we need to have the right spirit when we serve God. Amen. So you need to understand that to minister and to do the service of God, you need to start from the heart. This is the most important thing. Start from the heart, not from the ability, not from the gifting. So you need to have a shifting. You know, we have earthquake, the shifting of the earth. Bam! You see, one shifting can cause so much power, 500 miles per hour of the water just hit into the building and break the building. You see, one shift can cause so much impact. The same thing if you have an earthquake inside your spirit, have some shifting, have a big shift in your heart, that instead of having a self-promotion spirit, you know, look at me, something like that, or have a selfish spirit, but you serve God with the right spirit, with that shift, I believe that the power of God in you can hit the gates of hell and open the door of heaven, and many people can come to know God. Like that earthquake. But this is not for destruction of people, but destruction of the gates of hell. Because you shift your spirit, you shift your mental thinking. You know, God look at the spirit. In the Bible, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 2, talking about King Amaziah. He lost God's favor. Why? Look at this. King Amaziah did what was right in the sight of God. But, you see, he did the right thing in the eyes of God and even in the eyes of man. Action, action, outward action. But not with a loyal heart. You can see the difference between heart and action. People can do a lot of good actions, but with the wrong heart. And God's favor is not there. So you need to check your heart every single day while you are serving God. Amen. So we're going to look at some spirit here. We're going to shift some of our heart today. The first thing that I want you to shift this. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. The first shift that you need to deal with it. You need to repent or change. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So the first spirit that you need to have as a servant of God, you will not be able to be the real servant of God without this spirit. The spirit of thinking more about others than about yourself. It's not about yourself. It's about Christ and other people. If you don't have this spirit, you're going to be like a wood, hay, and stubble, and going to be burned, whatever you do. You will not have much rewards in heaven. Don't focus on yourself. You should have a condition called self-forgetfulness. Not forgetfulness. Self-forgetfulness. You are humble. You know, when we talk about humility, it doesn't mean that you think less about yourself. If you are a good teacher, yes, I'm a good teacher. You don't need to think less than. You are a very anointed guitar person, guitar man. You don't have to think less than what you are, that you are an anointed guitar man or an anointed drummer of the church. You don't need to think less of yourself, but you need to think about yourself less. You understand what I'm talking about? You don't need to look down on yourself. You know your gifting, you know your talent, but you need to think about yourself less than other thinking about other people. Then you can do the service to others. Stop focusing about your own need, but become aware of the needs of other people. Amen. You need to think about the needs of other people. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. The Bible talks about Jesus. Jesus set a great example about forgetting of himself. Self-forgetfulness, the Bible says, but stripped himself of all privileges. He gave up. He stripped off. He denied all the privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant. He became a servant. He is the greatest servant of the whole world. In that he became like men and was born a human being. The Bible says he emptied himself by taking a form of servant. In other words, Jesus never thought about himself. If you read the four gospels carefully, you notice that Jesus never do anything for himself. He always wants to do things to please the Father. He wants to always want to help people, minister to people. He thinks about humanity. He thinks about the Father. You never see that Jesus promote himself, talk about himself. He emptied himself for somebody else's benefit. You cannot be a servant of God if you are full of yourself. Let me repeat one more time. You cannot be a servant of God if you are full of yourself inside here. You need to empty yourself. Self-forgetfulness. Forget about yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of services in the world are often be called self-serving. Serve me. Do this for me. We do things to get people to like us. We do things to get people to promote us. We do things so that people will admire us. Or we do things to achieve our goals. You know, I appreciate goals, and we need to have goals. But goals must come after pleasing Jesus and serving people. You know what I mean? Sometimes leader can try to reach the goal so much and just kill all the sheep by controlling and manipulating and do things just to reach my goal. But you guys need to do this for me. And for what? For the goal. But forget about that goal for my own reputation so people can hear my name. My name will be recorded in the Christian magazine so that people will know me in the TV, television or something. You know, it's not about that. It's about other people. It's not about yourself. Empty yourself. Anytime you begin to serve God to make people like you, to make people admire you, to achieve your goal, then you're going to start to walk in the area of we call manipulation. You're going to start to manipulate people for your own agenda. Amen. So you have to be careful. If you think about how noble I'm going to be, how wonderful I'm going to be, then you are not a real servant of God. Sometimes people do a service for God or for the church as a bargaining tool. Bargaining tool. It's not about other people, but it's about I'm going to bargain, use this to bargain for my benefit. Bargaining to not to humans sometimes, but with God. God, if I do this, you're going to give me a nice spouse if I do this for you. Or if I do this, I believe my pastor is going to give me a position. You bargain with God. But you're not serving to think about other people, but you think about your own benefit. So that is dangerous. They use God for their purpose. These kind of people will serve God for their own purpose, but they don't serve God's purposes because they think about themselves. The quality, I tell you this, and I pray and pray, the quality of self-forgetfulness is extremely rare in the church. And I hope that, I pray that you will be the rare. Amen. Amen. Self-forgetfulness is extremely, extremely rare in the body of Christ. Look at what Paul say here. Philippians 2:20-21. We still stay in Philippians 2. Talk about servant. Talk about forget about ourselves. For I have no one like him. Can you imagine? Paul has so many members. He planted so many churches. He has so many disciples that he trained. But he said that only one man out of his disciples, no one like him, no one of so kindred a spirit who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare and devoted to your interests. No one. Everyone else, Paul tried to say, everyone else has served God. Think about their own interests first. For the others all seek to advance their own interests, not those of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Wow. I want that if God can write another Bible, I want my name to be in there. I want Paul to say, for I have no one like him. I want your name to be in there. For I have no one like him. Phil Fisher, who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare. I want your name, Rochelle and Estella, to be in them. I have no one like them, that couple, who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare. Not my own agenda, not my own reputation, not my own position, but your interests. That is a real servant of God. That is a real shepherd of God. I pray that you will be the rare kind. How many people want to be that rare kind in the body of Christ? I want to be that rare kind. You know why? Why it's so difficult to be a servant of God? Because what I'm talking here is so against your human nature. Our human nature is selfishness. Is that right? Think about me first. That's why humility is a struggle to every man on earth, every person on earth. Humility means thinking about other people first. You know, many times the opportunity to serve God come and confront you, but you know, many times you don't take it because you cannot give up your own interests. Because you think about your own interests first. So you need to make decision every single day. I'm going to meet my needs or I'm going to meet other people's needs. You see what I mean? If you can be like that, I die. I gave my life to God. I'm going to live my life for the needs of God and needs of other people. Don't worry though. If you do that, God take care of you. Better than you take care of yourself. Money going to come. You don't have to worry about health. God going to give you favor. God takes care of your need, but you take care of other people's need. But die to yourself first. Amen. We can measure our servant heart by how we respond when other people come and ask us for need. Are we the person that boss around people? We like to boss people around, or we like to take people for granted. You know, hey, these people have to serve me. Me. How do you treat other people inferior? Like look down on people under you? If you do those kind of things, you are not the real servant of God. Because the real servant of God will always think about other people, honor other people. Don't take people for granted. Don't boss people around. Matthew chapter 5 verse 41. Look at this, what he say. This is a model of a disciple. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Yes, by principle, maybe as an usher, you need to show up at around 5 minutes before 10. And then you finish your work by noon. You say, you know, I'm done with my job. I'm leaving now. I give you an example. But if you are this kind of disciple, I think about other people's interests. I'm going to come early to set up. I'm going to come and make sure everything is in order. And after finish, hey, maybe people still need my help around here. I'm going to stick around longer. I'm going to go 2 miles, not 1 mile. Can we become that disciple? People ask you, pastor ask you, can you do this 1 mile? You say, I go 2 miles for you, pastor. Jesus say, do this for me. Instead of going to 1 mile, you say, I will go 2 miles. Oh, I tell you, you can do that. you're going to be a really great servant of God. You go above reproach. You go just beyond what people expect. Amen.
Amen.
It's a tough lesson. That's why I email myself this afternoon to Blake. You make sure you come here. Because I don't want you to miss this lesson. Okay. Number two, the second spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:1. So then, let us, apostles, be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ, stewards, trustee of the mystery, the secret purposes of God. The second spirit you need to have is this, that if you want to be a servant of God, you need to have this spirit that you don't own anything. Everything belongs to God and you are just a manager or steward. Servant, remember that God owns it all. And the Bible says that a steward was a servant entrusted to manage an estate. You don't own anything in the church. You don't own any person. You don't own any member in your care group. You don't own any money. You don't own any property. Everything belongs to God. That is the spirit of the servant of God. Do you remember Joseph? The life of Joseph is excellent. Joseph was a steward for Potiphar. He looked after the whole house, but nothing. He don't own nothing in that house, but he took care of the house very well. Actually, Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ himself. He came as a servant. He was serving Potiphar. You see? So, then he became a steward for the jailer, the head, the jail commander. Then he became a steward for Pharaoh. All of this time he didn't own anything. He just served the master, keep serving the master all the time. We should have the same thinking that we don't own anything in this life. All the people belong to God. Amen. So servanthood and stewardship go hand in hand. Run together in a parallel way. Go hand in hand like this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You need to be faithful if you're steward. Faithful in the area of time, faithful in the area of money, faithful in the area of talents that you have, gift that you have. You need to be faithful steward. Use whatever God give to you for the kingdom of God. Do I need to move my standing place?
Oh. I think it's just going there, but there's a microphone for you if you want to use it. I know you don't like to use them. But I could battery up for you.
Servant. You have to settle many issues in your heart. And I tell you, one of the most important issues that you need to settle in your heart in order to become a real servant of God is the issue of money. If you cannot pass this issue, pass the test, it's very difficult for you to be a servant of God. And that's why Jesus Christ talked about money in the four gospels more than heaven and hell. Because he knows that if a man cannot pass this issue, it's very, very difficult to talk about the spiritual thing, about heaven and hell. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You see, he talked about two masters, and then he compared one master to what? Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. No, you cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Money. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. Amen? So money is a big issue. The Bible say, the Bible does not say you should not serve God and money at the same time. The Bible say you cannot. Period. Cannot. You are unable to serve God and money at the same time. You need to have only one boss. One master. That's why living for ministry and living for money are exclusive goals.
cannot go together. If you want to live for money, you cannot be a servant of God. If you want to serve God, you need to be faithful about the area of money. You cannot serve money or and serve God at the same time. All of your time, all of your money belong to God. All of your talent belong to God. Why Jesus talk about money a lot? Because it's so common that money will replace God in your life. It's a big issue. How many people agree with me that money is a big issue that replace God in your life? Is that right? It will replace, it will make you choose every day. I'm going to go God, I'm going to go money, I'm going to go God, I'm going to go money all the time. You need to, you cannot serve materials and God at the same time. Impossible. If you serve Jesus, money serves you. If you serve money, you serve. If you serve money, you become slave to money. It's nothing wrong about having money. It's okay to have money, but don't serve money. You serve Jesus and let the money serve you. Make decision every day. Money is my slave. They are not my boss. I'm not going to serve money. Amen. Wealth in itself is not a sin. But failing to use wealth for God's purpose is a sin. Failing to use wealth and riches for the purpose of God is a sin. If you use wealth and money for the purpose of your own flesh, it's a sin. So you have to be careful about this issue. The Bible is very clear. And I tell you, God will test your heart in this area all the time. God will gonna test your faithfulness about your time, your money, everything. God gonna test because he wants to make sure you are a faithful steward of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What are the true riches? Who knows? Can you give me an example? True riches. One. True riches. Eternal life. What else? The anointing. Amen. Relationships. Joy. Peace. Is that right? Wisdom. Power. Revelation. Revelation from God. How many people get excited when you read the Bible and God just gives you revelation? Wow! God give me new understanding today. That is to riches. More important than money. I mean, if you love money more than God, God is not going to give those to you, entrust those to you. Why some teacher have more revelation than others? Because God trusts them to be able to handle the revelations, to be able to handle the anointing. Listen carefully one more time. If you have not been faithful in how to manage money, who will? Who mean God? You think God going to commit to your trust the true riches? No way. God will not. Is that right? So, if you're a businessman and woman, you can be either wealth builders or kingdom builders. Nothing wrong about making a lot of money as a businessman. But you make money to build wealth, or you make money to support the gospel and support the Great Commission. Today I talked to Dwayne and Mary Jo and Neil that I like to see that we send out an apostolic team to visit our sister churches so that we can go and help them.
Still have, yeah, it's from somewhere else.
That's okay. I can use this one. Just turn it off. So we can send people to churches to help them to grow, you know, to visit them. How many people one day want to be in this kind of traveling team to visit sister churches? It's going to be fun. It's our goal to help to build a church, but you need to be faithful in this local church first before you go out of town, okay? Please. Today we have talked with Mary Jo and Neil that we're going to start to look for people who are willing to one day go out and plant churches and go as a missionary, in other words, go out as a missionary. And we're going to interview these people. We're going to interview, ask them to meet me, and we're going to, one word I'm going to say to them, I tell you right now, if you want to one day go out and impact another city for Christ, I want to beg you right now, that you show commitment of your time and your ministry in this local church first. Forget about going to another land to do something if you cannot even commit yourself in the local church here and pull up your sleeve and work and just be faithful. Sweat. And no matter what, you're gonna, not going to give up. You're not going to walk away. You're going to be faithful to the end. Then you're going to be passing the test to go to another city and get the job done. If you cannot pass the test in this house, forget about going to another city. It's not going to happen. So I'm going to request some kind of commitment. Amen. So from now on, we're going to start to search for people who are willing to go to another country, to go to another land. Like I know that, for example, Yuki is willing to go to Japan if her husband says yes. Amen. And how many of you going to be businessmen who will support the gospel? One day we're going to go plant churches and go and evangelize in some city, you know, and go and preach the gospel, get people saved. We need money to fly. We need money to go there. So the money need to come into these business people. Amen. So next year, I'm going to preach more to the business people to be generous to the kingdom of God. Amen. I pray that we're going to have a group of CEO here, a group of lawyers and doctors and group of business owners that come and support the gospel in this place. I pray that Phil going to sell his CD, millions of CD, so that those millions of dollars will support the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So everything is for the gospel. So number one, you think about other people, not yourself. Two, you must be a good steward. Everything belongs to God. Shift your thinking. Shift your thinking. Number three, servant think about their work, not about what other people are doing. What does it mean? It means this. Don't compare. Don't compare yourself with other people. Don't criticize other people's business or other people's ministry. Don't compete with others. Don't bother. You just take care of what God called you to do. Amen. Don't compare yourself with another pastor. Don't compare yourself with another care group leader, with another ministry. You are busy doing what God called you to do day and night. And don't spend too much time in comparing, competing, and criticizing. There are 4C here. Compete, compare, complain, and criticize. Don't do this 4C. Complain, compare, compete, and criticize. Amen. Busy with your own calling. Don't compare yourself with other people. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, don't be jealous of somebody else's ministry. If they can bigger than us, fine, thank God they are bigger. It's okay. But why? We have different assignment. Amen. We have different assignment. My assignment is to take care of you, all these beautiful people. If God doesn't send certain group of people in this church, maybe God doesn't send Yappy into this church, that's okay with me. You know Yappy mean? Young professional, what? Yeah, rich, driving, you know, expensive car into this church. I'm happy to have Romero here. He is a man of good heart. This is my assignment. I'm his pastor. I'm happy for that. I'm not going to compare myself to, oh God, you don't send these rich people in my church. I don't care about rich people. I want to just take care of God's people that he sent to me here. I have different assignment than another pastor in another corner of the street here. We have different assignment. We don't need to compare. We just do our best to take care of people. Amen. Don't complain of unfairness. You know, sometimes, oh, you give them more gift than me. Oh, God, you give them more money. Bigger building, beautiful building, you don't give me. You start to complain of the unfairness. You think that God is unfair to you. It's not our job to evaluate another servant's work. Let me repeat one more time. It's not our job to evaluate the master's other servant. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Who are you? Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands and falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So, don't judge other people. You don't have the right to evaluate any person, ministry. Let God evaluate. You just evaluate yourself. Amen? The same thing to me. You know, whatever I can do here, the best I can, don't be a judge toward me and evaluate me. Your job is to pray for me, give me advice, love me, but your job is not to evaluate me. Let God evaluate me. You know what I mean? It's an attitude issue here. You can give me advice, but don't become my judge. Judge me. The same thing, I don't judge you. I just encourage you, set good example, give you advice, and go on. We are not here to judge anyone. Don't judge one another. Amen? Because we all have different weaknesses and strength in our life. Not only that, it's not our job to defend ourselves against criticism. People may criticize us, but it's not our job to defend ourselves. In Nehemiah 6, verse 3, look at what Nehemiah say about being criticized. He say like this, "So I sent messenger to them, saying, I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why I leave it and go down to you?" In other words, Nehemiah say, if I change it, paraphrase, "Hey guy, I don't have time to argue with you. I don't have time to defend myself. You can criticize me." They criticize him that if a fox jump on that wall, the wall gonna fall down. Bad walls. They criticize him, his work. He said, "No, I don't have time. I'm gonna keep doing the work of God." So if people criticize, we don't have to spend time defending ourselves. Just keep doing the work, whatever God called us to do. Amen. And I want to let you know the good news right now. This is excellent good news. If you serve God, you cannot avoid being criticized. Good news. Let's give your hand to God. If you serve God, you are expected, you expect to be criticized. I noticed that a lot of people criticize Miss Susu. I know. When she, you know, I talked to God yesterday. People criticize Miss Susu, this and that. And she is a new leader here in this church. But I tell you, a few years from now, those who criticize Miss Susu, we go nowhere. But Miss Susu is going to be a powerful, anointed servant of God. Give her some time. Amen. People who criticize do nothing. They just talk, but do nothing about it. But this girl serving God, this lady is serving God, working hard. You think God going to take whose side? God going to take her side because she served God. She's not complaining. She never criticized anyone. She just keeps serving God. Amen. And she's still single. Mrs. Su, I heard that a lot of men in the church like you. Many people told me, many men. So don't forget. Amen. I want to let you know that even, you remember Mary went to put perfume on Jesus' head and body. And you know who criticized her? The disciple. They say it's a waste. You know, even the disciple criticized the woman. And Jesus said, "This is not a waste. This is significant in my eyes, regardless what other people say." I want to encourage you. If people criticize you, don't listen. Don't be discouraged. Your service to his people and to God is significant and is he lavish. He loves, he just value and honor your service to him and to his people. Don't be discouraged. Every minute, every single calorie that you spend for God, God consider honor. Don't let the criticism stop you. And please don't criticize one another. Amen. another one. This is another one. Your heart. Number one, what? Think about other people, not yourself. Two, everything belongs to God. You are just a good steward. Number three, just mean your own business. Don't bother other people. Don't touch other people. Don't compare. Don't compete. Don't criticize. Number four, servant identities. As a servant's identity is in Christ. What does it mean? It means this. You serve God out of the foundation that He loves you and graciously accepts you. You don't need to prove your worth and your value at all. Your identity, your value is in the acceptance of the Son of God, not of man. He used you. He uses you. He anoints you out of His grace and His love. You don't need to prove your worth. Amen? Hallelujah. If you can think that way, you will not mind to take up a job that look like low kind, beneath, sweeping the floor, pick up the chair, helping the pastor correct English, driving to somebody's house, pick up somebody to church. You are not acting like a big kahuna. Look at me. My worth is in my title. I'm a care group leader. Look at me. No, 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 no. It's not about your title. Your worth is not about the what kind of job you do in a church. Oh, I'm a preacher. I get on the stage and I preach. No, 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 no. Your worth is in Christ. Not your title. Not what you do. If you can think this way, you can do even the most menial job in the church. You're willing to change the diaper in the room there. You're willing to come back behind people and catch people who fall down. Even though you're unit leader, you can catch people too. Doesn't have to be only usher. If you say, my worth is in, you can go and put the cloth on people when they fall down. You see what I mean? Any job you can do, you are willing to do. Any job that if, you know, I want to teach you one thing in this church, that we should have this spirit in the church. Anything that this church needs and the pastor needs, I will volunteer right now. If I don't see any usher, I go out and stand behind. You don't sit in here, you know, I'm too big for this job. I'm too worthy in me that I cannot be a catcher. No. You can do any job because your worth is in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus, the best servant. He washed the feet of the disciple. The lowest kind of job of slave in his time. You know, there are many levels of slave at that time. And the worst, the lowest kind are the one who stand at the door and when people, when Don walk into the house, Don take off his shoe, then that slave will wash your feet. And then you can go into the house. That kind of slave. He washed the feet of the disciple. Hallelujah. His identity, his worth is not in what he did, but in the Father. The Father appointed him to be the Savior, to be the Messiah. Amen. If you realize that your identity is in Christ's love, you will feel very secure all the time. You will not live in insecurity. Oh, maybe people will not like me. Maybe people don't like the way. No, insecurity. You will not fear of exposure of your weakness. You accept your weakness. You don't have to act like, I know I'm making a mistake. You can express, you can tell, you know, I'm weak. I have problem. I have some weakness in my life. But, you know, I serve God because God loved me. Not because I'm a great guy. Not because of my own worth. But because Christ loved me. Christ died for me. You don't need to be to act like a prideful person or pretend that you are a perfect person. No, no, no. You can be down to earth. You can be who you are. Because your worth is in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not looking for titles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 18, Paul said, "For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." In other words, your title, your worth is not about what people talk about you, or what you, it's not about what you talk about yourself, but it's about the Lord, how the Lord see you. Your identity is in Christ. In another version, the Bible say like this: You may brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval, from CEV Bible. Your approval is in the Lord, not in man. Amen? Can we have that kind of spirit in our heart? Hallelujah. James, the brother of Jesus, James should have boast that, "Oh, you know, I'm a brother of Jesus. You know that I grew up in the same home." You know what James say? He can quote that, "Oh, I am a son-in-law of an elder." No, I'm just kidding. He can quote that. "You know, I am a son-in-law of the pastor." No. Look at what James say. I know that you're kidding. I know you're kidding. Look at what James say. James say, in James chapter 1, verse 1, "A born servant of God and of the Lord." What James called Jesus? The Lord Jesus Christ. His identity is in the Lord, not in being a sibling of Jesus Christ. As a born servant. Amen? Hallelujah. Last one. Servant, not only is a steward. Servant think about other people, not yourself, not ourselves, not themselves. Servant also mean their own business and don't criticize other people and don't have to defend themselves when they are criticized. Servant identity is in Christ's love and Christ's grace, the grace of God. Another one, servant consider the ministry as a privilege and joyful opportunity, not an obligation. It's not an obligation. It's not a must. It's not something I have to do. But it's a joyful thing to do. It's fun. It's a privilege. It's good that I set up the website for the church. It's good that I can produce CD to sell in the church. It's good that I can get involved in music team. It's good that I can become a care group leader. It's a privilege. It's a joyful thing to do. It's a great, powerful, the best opportunity in my life that I can serve the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 2 say, "They serve the Lord with gladness." Are you serving the Lord with gladness or with complaints? Or you feel that, "Oh, I have to do this." Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 26. How many people want God to honor you and give you a favor? Okay, this is what the Bible says. John, I'm going to preach about the honor of God next year. I'm preparing the sermon called The Honor of God. Next year, we're going to learn. I'm going to put that as a book. And from now on, every disciple in this church must learn this lesson called The Honor of God. Because I noticed this is a big problem in America. That when I start, last Sunday, when I start to make altar call, people start to get up and walk. And I say, "Please sit down. Please honor the time right now. 5 more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes to make out the call." People get up right away. So they don't understand about the honor of God. That the pastor is making such a power. I mean, somebody may go to hell or heaven at this minute right now. You know, and people just get up and walk around. They lack the honor of God. They don't understand the honor of God at all in this society. So we need to teach about this. Serious. Another thing is that we're going to tell the parents in the church that if during the time that no Sunday school, during the early time, please get your children to sit with you. We should not let the children walk around outside, not only for the safetyness point of view, but can you imagine if the children just run around outside the foyer there and the usher try to get them in, but the parents don't care anyway. You think the guests walk in, they're going to think that we honor God in this house? No, they think that this house is like weird. People don't even honor God. You know, we have the service where the children run around the whole place and eat and make noise. We need to teach our children to honor God. Amen. And I'm working on that too. That's why I put Paul to sit and be quiet and don't get up and walk around all the time. We try to train our children too, to honor God in the house. John, I get out of the topic. Let's come back. John chapter 12, verse 26. The Bible says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And wherever I am, you notice, serve and follow. And wherever I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serve me, him my Father will honor. You want to be honored by God? Serve the Lord. And the Lord say, wherever I am, he will be with me and serve me there. Let me ask you right now, where is Jesus? How do you relate to Jesus today? Who know the answer, theological answer? How do you follow Jesus today? Jesus said, let me repeat one more. If anyone serve me, mean Jesus, let him follow me and where I am. How am I going to find Jesus? He says, follow me and I need to be where he is. How am I going to do that in a practical way today, in this generation, in this church era? How are we going to... I hope I can find that scripture. This is very important knowledge that you need to understand about walking with God. I hope I can find it. Okay. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. Listen carefully. John 14, 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love Jesus. You keep his commandment. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Helper means another person of the same kind. In other words, the helper is Jesus, another person of the same kind. And he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither see him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and be with you. I will not leave you orphan. I will come to you. He said, I will come to you. Jesus said, I will be with you. You can find Jesus through the Spirit of truth. So today, 2,000 years ago, the disciple walked with Jesus in the human form. But today you walk with the Spirit of Jesus in you. You need to recognize the Holy Spirit. You need to be connected to the Holy Spirit all the time. When was the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? Praise God, this morning. Yeah, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. He is Jesus in you. The Spirit of God is Jesus within you, but in the form of the Spirit of truth. He represents Jesus in you here. Amen. So we need to serve God as a great opportunity, not obligation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unfair. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians as you still do. We need to serve God, and we need to understand that God will never forget your hard work. Amen? So you learn today about the attitude of the real servant, the heart of the real servant. Can you be that rare kind in the body of Christ? I want all to see all of you serve God with a pure heart, with the right spirit, and you're going to get a lot of rewards in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us really make commitment to God and say, God, I'm going to serve you. You are my master. Whatever you ask me to do, I do it. I will not complain. I will obey right away. If you ask me more, I will give you more. I'm not going to hold back anything. I will serve you. I will love you. I'll do anything you want me to do. Have the mind of Christ. Don't think the way the world thinks. The world will think this way. I will do the least I can and let other people suffer. Is that right? That's the way the world thinks. The world will still teach you this way. That, let other people suffer. I will do the least I can. But in the kingdom of God, God, I'm happy to do anything you want, you tell me to do. I'm willing to serve you no matter what you call me to do. I have no if and or but. I will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Should we pray like that together? Right now, just pray together. Let's pray a prayer of commitment. Pray to commit our life to God. Follow my prayer. Father in heaven, I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in this century. I want to walk with Christ by the Spirit of God. Lord, I give my life to you. You can do whatever you want in my life. You're the owner of my life and everything that I have. My time, my money, my talents, the gifts that I have, all the materials and wealth, all of them belong to you. And I am your good steward. I promise you, Lord, that I will remind myself by the help of the Holy Spirit to think about others more than myself. I will be a faithful steward in your kingdom. Lord, I will mind my own business. I will not criticize others, compare myself with others. I will not defend myself when I am criticized. Father, help me to serve God with gladness. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. But it's a joy. It's a privilege. I give my life to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that in the coming year, from year 2005 on, we will see people rise up in the church more and more. People who are really dedicated to serve God in different ministry, rise up and say, God, I live my life for Him, for you, and I must serve God. Rise up. We'd like to train you, to help you. I like to see that one day many young people in our church will go to different cities as a group, as a team, and we will be able to preach the gospel there, get people saved, make disciples, and start many, many spirit-filled word center, revival church there. I pray that all of us will die to self and learn how to humble and just seek God first. Amen. I pray next year we like to really focus on helping the children ministry and the youth ministry. I myself will focus more on the young people, so that unless some couple, married couple, say, you know, I want to serve God, then would we'll come come in and join. I want to see people who say that I really committed to serve God, and I want to see them train. I want to get together with them and train them with other leaders in the church. I want to see people really make commitment like this. I'm going to serve God. You know, I'm serious. I sign up. In other words, I sign up. I want to serve God here. I'm not going to complain. If I get tested by you, sometime I rebuke you and you say, I'm mad now, I'm leaving the church. That is you failed the test. You flunked the test. You know, sometimes I test you. I yell at you to see how you're going to respond to me. Or maybe sometimes I don't give you what you want to get to see that you're going to get mad and leave the church or not. Because sometimes people need to pass the test before they can be used by God. You see what I mean? So I noticed that many people pass the test, like Dwayne, great man. He passed the test. I really appreciate Dwayne, you know. So next year, I'm going to really want to help the international group and help the young people. I'm tempted right now to pioneer a new group with all the young people that want to serve God fully. For example, like Jamie or, you know, some young people come and train them and make this group like evangelize and be active, train them how to start a care group and build a care group, and eventually one day they can go out and plant church. They need to learn how to do that. So I want to see that we are really serious about the kingdom of God. Next year we like to really have a project that we want to remodel this house. You know, after thinking about this, we try to buy the building. And I decided instead of having a big building, and it's very hard to find big building anyway, and unless we God really graces to find a big building in front, in the middle of the city, I rather have a few centers that we can, in other words, people from South will not suffer, have to drive up to Linwood. If we move to Linwood, then everyone in the South going to suffer. So we're going to try to have churches in the locality so people don't have to drive too far. So because of that, we don't plan to sell this building. We're going to improve. And God spoke to me that you need to make this house better than your house. If your house, you have good quality stuff, you have good things, you clean up your carpet. You know, I want to encourage everyone to take care of God's property. Don't eat and spill into the chair. When you see things drop on the ground, pick it up. Take care of the house of God better than your own house. If you walk, you know, in the house, sometimes I pick up some paper from the ground and put in the garbage can. In the house of God here, God say that my house must be, I'm talking about physical house, must be more glorious than any house. So next year, I'm going to talk to elder that I want to spend some money to improve this place, to be like Solomon Temple, beautiful. Not that we emphasize material, don't take me wrong, but we want to honor our God. Our children's room going to be painted good, everything. You know, we're going to take care of the stage, remodel stage. We're going to take care of everything. We're going to make this house better, clean up the room, make everything in order. Can you help me? Can you help? Can we help each other to make this house clean, neat, honor to God, not messy? We may have to do something to remodel, put the room, put some stuff away, or throw something away to, like, many rooms. We may have to get something out to make the house of God look nice. I promise God that we're going to make this church honorable to God. The Bible talk about the vessel of honor and the vessel of dishonor. We want to be vessel of honor, both physically and church building. Amen. So we want to do that. And I want to improve the area of feeding the word of God into people's life. So we're going to spend some money and some time in building the CD production so that people, we're going to produce like a CD, series of CD, so that people can go listen, series of CD. So people will get into the word all the time in the car, in, you know, before you go to bed, you listen to the word of God and get into the word of God to grow. Amen. We want to do that. We want to get people into the word of God. The word of God is very important. Amen. If we want to stay to the end. So next year we're going to focus on all these things. Mission. evangelizing, training leader, rise up and prepare people for planting churches. And we're going to try to, you know, take more serious this year. We after 1 year of coming out from Hope of God Church, we start to find our own identity. We find our own calling. What God wants us to do this year. God speak, the Spirit of God speak to the church directly now, not to any human, you know, medium or what you call, like a representative. God going to speak to his church directly. So I appreciate all of you who are care group leaders and unit leaders. Anything from mission department you want to say anything? If you are interested one day in be a part of going out and plant church, please come and talk to Mary Jo and Neil and Dwayne. They're going to interview you. They want to find out what you really are called to do, and then they will match you up with the leadership and we can talk. Another thing is that all the unit lead, care group leader, if you find anyone who is interested in one day going out to plant church somewhere else or pioneer the work in some city, please let Neil and Mary Jo and Dwayne know right away. We want to train them as soon as possible. We don't want them to waste this time in this church. We want to train people to rise up to go and pioneer. They may not be a pastor, but at least they get trained right away. They're going to get some activity and work and do some ministry in a care group. We want to have some kind of covenant and commitment that we're going to train you. And you. This is serious now. You are the soldier here. You sign up into the military of God, the army of God. Now we're going to take serious about training you. In other words, we're going to have a group of people in the church that really sign up and say, I want to serve God. We want to take serious about God now. So we know who they are. So we can really give them more time, give them more energy to train them. You understand what I mean? Yeah, there are a group of people in the church that non-believers, churchgoers, church attendance on Sunday, but that's another group of people like Barry and Zhao say, I sign up. I sign you up. No. Amen. This world needs more servant of God. The field is ripe, but we need laborers. Amen. Why don't I close in prayer, and then each group, each unit and care group, you can gather together and maybe communicate about how you're going to improve your serving life in your group, you know, anything God speak to you, but go by your own unit there. Sit together. Please give some time for the unit and care group leader to really talk to you and minister. You can talk together, have some kind of internal talking in your own group, okay? How about this? I assign international group go to this kind of corner. Mary Jo group come to this corner. Pastor Cesar go to that corner. Any one group that I forget? Huh? And the big unit group will Pastor Kenny. Pastor Kenny will go to here, maybe, in this corner. Is it okay? And a big unit group will come in the front here together. You can pull the chair out. Mics and Victor group, I'm sorry. Okay, any question? We're going to pray, close in prayer, and you can communicate and talk among your group. And please, you know, cooperate in the meeting. Yes. Yes, yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, write it down. Write a vision, yeah. Okay, yeah, we will do that. Want to let you know ahead of time that one more minute that next year I'm gonna early in January I will begin to talk about our mission statement and our vision. Next, I will talk about I'm gonna bang on this issue for a while about the file of God and about the Holy Spirit, because I make mistake that I never teach our own members. A lot of people get confused about this issue. Then I will talk about the honor of God, talk about how we should honor God and about how we live a life of honor before God, something like that. So the next year we're going to hit some of this issue, the vision, the goal, the mission statement of the church, the vision of our church. All this issue is going to come up in January. So make sure that if people miss the church, get the CD for them, because all this issue is going to be important, you know, that everyone should hear, because I'm going to hit the kind of teach the foundation, what we believe here, what why we are like this, why our church look like this, so that the whole membership can hear at the same time. Oh, this coming Friday we have a New Year Eve, New Year a bless, December 31st, 9 p.m. So if you have any question, you can ask Nali. Okay, I don't want to go into detail right now. We're going to have the snack at the end. After midnight, after the countdown, we have snack. So going to be quite unpredictable free flow. Okay, going to be free flow on after worship, whatever God leads me and lead us, maybe testimony, encouragement, whatever. Lay hand, pray, sharing. Okay, so going to be quite free flow. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for teaching us through the Word of God, Lord. We want to grow. We want to become like Christ. We want you, Lord, to help us, Lord, every single day of our life, Lord, to move on to the next level of maturity and to the glory of God, from glory to glory. Father, we want to humble ourselves before you. We want to be real disciples. We don't want to be religious people, but disciples who walk with Jesus every day. Father, help your people in this church. The new people who come in will be changed, will learn the Spirit in this church, and will humbly serve you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So you made for 50 minutes or so, or 20 minutes, not more than that, and then you can leave.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.